Shalom and praise Jesus. How are you today? I trust the Lord that you're doing well, even as we begin another new week. I don't know whether the week begins on Sunday or Monday. Well, that's a story for another day, but this is Monday, and we thank God for the way he has been with us. We are coming to the end of the month of May, and in this week, we'll be beginning the month of June. And this is the week that we have our week of prayer and fasting. As we trust God, as we transition from one month to the next, that the Lord goes before us. As we close one month, that the gains that you have made in this month, that the Lord may cover them, may protect them, and that he may go ahead of us, that what is ahead of us, that we are going to become beneficiaries of the same, because he has good thoughts and good plans for us. And so we are trusting him to go ahead of us, even into the month of June. We are coming to the middle of the year, and we want to trust God. We can't take any day for granted, any month for granted. Already the month is moving so fast that we are coming mid 2023, and it just began the other day. I tell you, the coming of the Lord is very, very soon. And so it is important for us to be aware. It's important for us to be alert, that we move circumspectively in these days, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. My name is Grace Wojiambo, and I love the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And this week, we want to trust God to lead us according to his word. And we are going to get the direction from Exodus chapter 5. But before we continue, let us pray together and commit our time together before the Lord. Our Father and our God, in Jesus' name, we are grateful this day that you have been our God. Indeed, you have been, you are, and you shall forever be, because you are the unchanging God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, gracious God, we are delighted to have you as our God, the God who is faithful, who is trustworthy, who hears and answers his people and his children's prayers, a God who never leaves and abandons his people, but is always with them. Lord, we are so grateful to have you as our God, living God. All the other gods are the works of men's hands, and they are dead. They have ears, they do not hear, they do not speak, they cannot move, but you are the mighty God, creator of heaven and earth. Indeed, O God, you sustain life. It is you who said, let there be, and you sustain that life that you created, O God. And you sustain the life of human beings, because it is you who put the breath of life into them. And so this day we are grateful, O God, and we commit our time together before you, and we dedicate not only this time, but the entire week before you, O God, that you would lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. We praise you, we honor you, and we adore you. For we pray, believing and trusting in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. So our topic for this week is, let my people go. Let my people go. And this is from the Word of God scripture. Maybe you've never heard that. Exodus chapter 5. If we just read verse 1. Let me read verse 1 and 2. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Now, that is the topic for us to this week. And we are trusting God to help us and to help all the ministers through this week to be directed and get led of the Lord. Because when God was sending Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh, it was a time when Israelites had been in bondage for many years, over 400 years, and they had been crying out to God. And now God heard their cry and sent Moses to go and as their deliverer. And it would be good if you could be able to read the book of Exodus. If you could start, if you could get time and read the book of Exodus, the entire book, it would be wonderful, because you would be able to understand and to appreciate even the truths much better. Because before this encounter, because this is the first encounter that Moses and Aaron had with Pharaoh. But there was a story before then. And if you just move back to chapter 3 of the book of Exodus, you will find where in chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, it is recorded how God, how Moses had an encounter with God. You know the story of the burning bush, the bush that was aflame, but it was not getting consumed. And when Moses was taking care of the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro, God appeared to him in a burning bush. So he had an encounter with God. He heard the voice of God. God spoke to him, and he spoke back to the Lord. Because when the Lord called him, Moses, Moses, in verse 4, he said, "Here I am." And so we find there was an encounter. There was a conversation between Moses and God. And God told him then, in verse 6, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And so we find this encounter that Moses had met God, so to speak. And it is a wonderful thing to have an encounter with the Lord. I tell you all the other stories that are coming hereafter. Without having had an encounter with God, Moses would not have been able to do what he was being asked to do. And so it is important for us, brethren, to have an encounter with the Lord. If you have not met the Lord, then it doesn't make sense. Anything else that we talk, it won't make sense. But when you have, when you have come face to face, so to speak, with God, and you know about his holiness and about his grace, his love, and his concern for humankind, then you'll be able to appreciate everything else that comes thereafter. And when God appeared to Moses, he told him about the situation on the ground. Moses may not have been very much aware, but in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 3, the Lord said to Moses, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them." And so we find that God is a God who sees. He's a God who hears. And this is the situation on the ground, that the Israelites were crying out to God because of the oppression of the Egyptians. The Egyptians had made them slaves, and they were so mean to them, and they were taking advantage of them, giving them hard labor. And so they cried out to God. They remembered they have a God. And so they cried out to the God of heaven, because they were wondering, then who else is going to save us? And let me tell you, the God of this world has held people in captivity. They are held in captivity. Sometimes they may not even know. At least the Israelites knew that they were in captivity, and they knew whom to cry out to, you know. But sometimes you find that there are people even in our day, you know very well that the Satan has really held them captive. They have been bound by sin. They've been bound by wickedness, evil. And they are moving around as if all is well. They may be driving big vehicles or living in big homes or going to big schools and having big jobs and all that. But they are bound as long as they have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are bound. And so we find that was the situation on the ground. But God had a strategy. When he heard that the Israelites, he heard their cry and he saw their oppression. In verse 10 of chapter 3, we read, "Come now," this is God speaking to Pharaoh, "come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And so God is not a small God. He is not limited, power or even authority, ability. But he chose to use Moses. He chose to use a human being to deliver the people of Israel out of bondage. And so he's telling Moses, that's why he appeared to him. He tells him, "Now come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people," that Moses would bring the people of God, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God is not saying that to go appear and I'm the one to do, but he's sending Moses and giving him full authority. Well, those who are in church on Sunday, you remember the issue about authority and power. And so Moses was given full authority that he would go and stand before Pharaoh and that he would lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, because he had the power of God, the authority of God, backing him. But it's so unfortunate that God chooses to use human beings, chooses to use you, chooses to use Moses. And instead of us taking it and as a privilege and a rising and taking facing the what is it called, the situation as it is, Moses came up with excuses, questions, arguments, and all that. And we find that in chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?'" So we look at ourselves and we think we discriminate upon ourselves. We find we have low self-esteem, and we think, "Oh me, how can I go and talk to anybody? Would anybody listen to me?" When you read on, you will find all the excuses that he was giving, and even arguments and all that. But let me tell you, God was not happy with Moses when he was making all those excuses. And if you take chapter 4 and verse 4, not exactly that one, but God was not happy. His anger is kindled against Moses. I'm so sorry. I think I wrote a scripture that is not, because I wrote the Lord's anger is kindled against us when we give excuses. Chapter 4, verse 14, not verse 4. Verse 14, it says, I'm sorry about that. "So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." Yeah? The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses because he's giving excuse upon excuse. And I pray that the anger of the Lord would not be kindled against us, many of us, or all of us, or some of us, because we've been giving excuses. The Lord has told us from the beginning of the year that this is the year of divine enlargement through outreach. And so our part has been waiting for us to do our part of outreach. And we've been giving excuses and reasons here and there. And may the anger of the Lord not be kindled against us, because we don't want to face an angry God. May God have mercy upon us and help us. And we find that God, who sees the misery of his people, who saw the misery of his people then, he sees even now the misery of his people. And like we just said, God's plan for deliverance includes you and includes me, even as it included Moses. It includes you, that God wants to use you, wants to use me even to deliver his people from bondage. And we find that God knew that Pharaoh would resist to let the people of God go. And when you remember when we read Exodus chapter 5, Pharaoh had said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." I mean, very arrogant. And he's saying he doesn't know the Lord, and so he will not let Israel go. And God knew that there would be this kind of resistance. Because if you even read chapter 3 and verse 19, God says, "But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go." And so God knew that Pharaoh would not let the people of God go so easily. And so he said that he would harden his heart so that the power of God would be manifest. You know, when there is a big problem, when the situation in which you're going through is large, is heavy, it is so down, pulling you down and weighing you down. When God comes through for you and delivers you, the testimony is as great as the situation was. So the greater the problem, the greater the deliverance, and the greater the testimony. And that is how we have such great testimony of how God delivered Israel from Egypt, because it was such a terrible situation. And one day after another, Pharaoh would harden his heart, and he would not allow the people of Israel to leave Egypt, you know. He would not allow the Israelites to go and worship the Lord. And so this also tells us that even now, God knows that Satan will not easily let the people of God go out of his grip, so to speak. And so he is telling us that so that we know, that we may be patient, that we may be consistent, that we may be persistent. Moses kept going. He would go, he sent away. Pharaoh would say that he would change his mind, but then he would change, and on. And God performed one miracle after another, one miracle after another. And so if Pharaoh was to give up, he would have given up half, maybe halfway through the miracles, and he would have said, "There doesn't seem to be anything happening." In fact, the situation was getting worse and worse. You remember that Pharaoh had said that the Israelites were idle. That is why they were asking to go and worship God. And so he caused the work to be even heavier, that they would go and look for straw for themselves to make the bricks, and would have to make the same number of bricks. And so the Israelites were even, they didn't even want to see Moses, because they were saying it is Moses who is going to provoke Pharaoh and all that. And so do not get disappointed. Do not get disheartened. Do not give up when you're praying for someone to get saved, because God has partnered. God wants us to partner with him. So I think it's us, yeah. God wants us to partner with him so that we continue, we keep hitting and hitting and hitting, until the enemy lets go of the people of God. We were told to write names of the people that we are praying for. And so when you're praying for that person, my first person is called Margaret. So when I'm praying for Margaret, I should not give up. If I meet Margaret and I tell her about the love of Jesus and about salvation, and she resists, and I should know that it is the devil who is resisting to let go of her. And so I should not give up. I should continue praying for Margaret. I should continue praying for Margaret. And should continue speaking to Margaret concerning the love of God and his grace and his mercy and his salvation. realizing that it is not Margaret's fault, it's just that the devil has held her, has his grip, upon her life. And that is why God was telling Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And so we have to persistently speak the deliverance of the people of God. Satan, let Margaret go in Jesus' name. Margaret must go, must get out of the grip of Satan in the name of Jesus. That should be the kind of prayer that we should be offering. Because this is a battle for souls. Moses was battling for the souls of the Israelites who are held captive in Egypt. And so, my brother and my sister, this is a battle for souls. And this week, we trust God that he will lead us into battle against the enemy. And because that we may have the people of God loosed, from the chains of the enemy in the name of Jesus, that we will not give excuses for what the Lord has called us to do. God has promised us his presence. He told Moses in verse 12 of chapter 3 of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 12. So he said, I will certainly be with you. This is God telling Moses, I am sending you to Pharaoh, but I will certainly be with you. Amen. And he even gave him a sign. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. That was even a sign that God was giving Moses. But he told him, he assured him of his presence. The Lord assures us of his presence, that we are not in this alone, but we are together with him. Remember, we are partnering with him. It is him who is the deliverer. But he is asking us to go on his behalf with his authority to set the people free. And that's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke said, it's not Luke who said, Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And one of the things that was making me wonder, that the Son of Man, who is Jesus Christ, he came to seek and save, yani to seek. And I wrote, Jesus, a seeker. That Jesus is seeking out the lost. And Jesus is all knowing. He knows that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And yet he comes to seek and to save. I even looked out what is the meaning of the word seek, even in the dictionary. And I found to seek is attempting, is an attempt or a desire to obtain or achieve someone or something. So it's like Jesus desires to obtain, to achieve the souls of men. And looking out the word attempt, I found is make an effort to achieve or to complete something or a task that is difficult. So Jesus came to make an effort. And the effort he made was to come and lay down his life that he may be crucified, to achieve and complete the task of salvation, which was something very difficult because the blood of bulls and goats could not do it. And so Jesus came to seek and save. I mean, he had to do, it was an effort. He had to do something that was a heavy thing to do, a sacrificial action, so to speak. And if Jesus came to seek and save, and he's calling us to partner with him, that we may be seekers of the lost. So we must go out there and seek those people who are lost, who are for salvation. So we will speak to whoever, everyone that we meet. We will speak to them the word of God. We'll speak to them about the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus who knows. He is able to save. Jesus will save them even as we go seeking them out. So we partner together with Jesus, who is the seeker and a savior. And so we partner with him to seek out those people who are lost. Because your neighbor is lost, go seek him out. Your colleague is lost, go seek him out. You know. And so we trust God that the people of God will go out of the bondage of Satan, that they may serve the living God. It is Jesus who performs the miracle of setting the people free. John chapter 8 and verse 36 tells us, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That is John chapter 8 and verse 36. So victory is on our side, brethren, that God has assured us. He has assured us that of setting us free. Amen. He has assured us of setting us free. And if I just look back briefly on chapter 6 of Exodus, chapter 6 of Exodus, verse 1, we find that God assures us that the mission or the battlefield will take place and the victory will be won, even as we have read. Because verse 1 of chapter 6 says, then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land. And so there is victory assured us, brethren, that when we partner with God, that God is going to save his people. It is not your work to save. Jesus will save the people. The divine enlargement is part of God's part. Outreach is our part. We find at the end in chapter 12 of Exodus, chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 29, and it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And verse 31 says, then he called, that is Pharaoh. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone. And then he adds, and bless me also. You know, I tell you, it's like he's chasing them away. Didn't God say that Pharaoh would release his people, God's people? Yes, and he did. And so even now, the salvation of the people of God is assured. You do your part, I do my part. Let the people of God go. Go free from the powers of darkness, because the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine on them. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And so, my beloved brethren, my brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you that it will work. It is possible that the people of God will be set free, that you will be set free from the bondages of the evil one, whatever is binding you, sickness, disease, and anxiety, whatever is binding you, that we speak it today, that the people of God will be set free in the mighty name of Jesus. And so let us pray, brethren. Our Father and our God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, O God. We thank you because you love your people. Thank you because you hear and answer prayers, O God. Even as you heard the cry of the Israelites when they were crying out to you in bondage in Egypt, Oh God, you heard them. You heard their cry, and you came down to save them and to deliver them. And you used Moses. You told him, come, I will send you. I am sending you. Oh God of heaven, you do not need to use man, but you choose to use man. Oh God, and even now, this day, we thank you, oh God, that you have called us. You have called us to use us, that you may use us, oh God, that you may go out like Moses and say, let my people go. Thus says the Lord, we shall remember that this is the word of God speaking. The Lord says, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may worship him. And so the people of God are to be set free that they may worship the living God. And that is our cry and our desire this day, oh God. But our friends, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, our colleagues, oh God, people we know, even those we do not know, are bound by the powers of darkness in the political arena, in the church, in the judiciary, in the parliament, wherever. Oh God, people are bound by the powers of darkness. And we are asking you, oh God, that in your mighty name, that the powers of darkness will let these people free, that they may worship you, that they may receive you as Lord and Savior. Oh God, that the people that we are going to talk to, oh God, would you lose them from the bonds of the evil one, that they may receive the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they may turn their lives over to you, Jesus, for salvation, oh God. Oh, how we desire to see a mass exodus, oh God, of people coming from bondage into the kingdom of God. Oh, we desire, even as the mass exodus, there was a mass exodus from Egypt of the Israelites leaving bondage. Oh God, that there will be such a mass exodus of people leaving the powers of darkness, leaving the jaws of death, leaving the bondages and the caves of the evil one. They had been held captive and coming en masse, even into the house of God, coming en masse, oh God, into the house and the kingdom of God. Father, we look up to you, we believe you, and we trust you that you're going to do exploits this week. Oh God, do exploits this week, we pray. Use us, anoint us, oh God, and give us the courage and the boldness to speak your word in boldness for their name's sake, oh God. All those who are bound in different kinds of bondages, set them free as well, oh God. Everyone who is calling on your name, hear them, oh God, and answer them and set them free, that they may worship you and serve you in liberty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, brethren.